Father, I just pray that there will be a touch of the Holy Spirit on this meeting in such a way that our lives will be changed this morning. And Lord, because it's not what we can do or say or who we are, but it's your power, it's your grace, it's your glory, it's your love. And we pray for it to descend upon us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in Kensington, which is just by where the, if you're as old as me, it's where the ice skating rink used to be years ago. If you go past TJ Hughes's and you go on, you'll come to basically my road. And I remember when we moved there some decades ago now, a friend of mine said, my neighbour has got these giant mirrors. And I think you could use them, you know, you could build a cupboard. So I went round, and these mirrors really were big. I mean, they're about 10 foot tall and about 3 or 4 feet wide. I've got three of them. So I thought, what am I going to do with these? So I built this wall-to-wall cupboard opposite my bed, me and Sue's bed. So, and I put these big mirrors in, and it doubled the size of the room. And I've had them now for about 20-odd years, and I can look at myself growing older every day. And I remember, on one side of the wardrobe is all Sue's stuff, and on the other side is my stuff. She's got some beautiful dresses, coats, skirts, all sorts of beautiful clothes, and I've got loads of suits. My sons keep donating suits to me. We've got hundreds of shirts. I need to go to the charity shop, but right now it's packed with stuff. But some of the stuff's really nice. And but imagine, while I'm speaking to you, that someone breaks into our house, goes upstairs into our bedroom, slides the doors back, and starts to trash Sue's dress, squirts sewage all over those beautiful clothes, goes into my side and gets a Stanley knife and slashes all the clothes so that when I get back, the place is a complete wreck. I want to tell you that our lives are like a wardrobe. And the devil comes to kill and steal and destroy your life. He wants to slash your innocence. He wants to deface every vestige of the likeness of Jesus in you. He wants to destroy and to kill and to steal, but the Lord has come to give you life and life more abundantly. The Bible says this, that He has, in 1 John, he has come to destroy the works of the evil one. And you know, I want to tell you that we all experience times where the devil's got into the place and he's destroyed things. He's spoiled things. He's defaced things. He's damaged things. It might well be today that you were sitting there and you were like me when I went to Emmanuel. I was only half a person. Life might have hit you hard. You don't know where the next penny's coming from. Your body's falling apart. You feel there's a curse being put on you. In fact, as I was waiting on there may be somebody here who feels there's been a curse on them. There's been one thing after another, things going wrong and wrong, and it's been unnatural. If that's you, we want to pray for you. What I'll do is I'll try and do this talk as fast as I can, and then I want to pray for people. I want to pray for people who are ill. I want to pray for people who have been affected in one way or another. I want to pray for people, for God to just come and impart a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Amen. My wife is preaching at our church, base church. I'm not the pastor, not even in the leadership anymore, but we have a base church. We believe in being based somewhere. She's preaching there. And she said she was listening to UCB this morning, and John Marconi was on, a 36-year-old American guy. And he made this statement: there's times of breakthroughs and there's times of process. There's times when we just need to trust and obey, and there's no other way but to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey and just do the next thing and walk step by step from him. But there's also times of visitation. And what we're going to do today, I'm going to try and speak. I'm going to pray for a fresh visitation of God on your life, on your ministry, on this church. Praise God. How many people here want to walk around the same mountain? So we all need fresh visitations of God. It doesn't decry or devalue what God's done before. But we need to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God today. We can't live on yesterday's bread. We need God to touch us in a fresh way. Well, at least I do. Getting back to this wardrobe and the wardrobe of your life. Not only does the devil want to destroy your life, your body, your mind, your spirit, your ministry, this church, but he wants to hang his own garments in there. He wants to hang garments of shame, garments of fear, garments of abandonment and rejection, garments of abuse, garments of bitterness, garments of unforgiveness, damaged garments, cursed garments, garments of deception, and garments of unbelief. And sometimes before we know where we are, we've found that the devil or the enemy or whatever you'd like to call this has hung something in out of the wardrobe of our life, and that is what has blocked us from receiving a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, you might have been not only hurt and damaged, but he's hanging stuff. You might have done stuff that you can't forgive yourself for. Well, God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is here to deal with that garment of shame. It might well be this fear, someone's attacked you, or something's happened in your life, and you have an irrational fear that bad things are going to happen. It might well be that you've been abandoned. Someone you've loved has walked out on you or betrayed you or stabbed you in the back, and it's left you wounded in your personality. Well, Jesus has come to destroy the works of the evil one in me and in you. Amen. Hallelujah. This is an echo chamber. So am I being too loud, Myra? Okay. Because my wife's not here. She said, the thing about you is you shout in 1 minute and whisper in the next. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus wants to hang garments. He wants to remove all the damage out of the way. He wants to take those garments that the devil's put in, and he wants to put his garments in the wardrobe of your life. You know, the first time I saw a proper coronation was the other year with Prince Charles, and you saw all these robes and all these military uniforms and the pageantry and the glory and all the fantastic things. That was Marchie comes up in a gold coach. She's looking, you know, amazing. Camilla's looking great. And they walk up and they get, and then they start the service, and then it comes to the fact they're going to anoint him as king. So there he goes in all his robes towards the front, and the Archbishop of Canterbury's there and everything. And then out of nowhere, these bods turn up with screens. And they start putting screens around Charles. And the BBC commentator says, well, I'm sorry, they're putting the screens up so we can't see this. And what they were doing, they were stripping him of his clothes. They had to strip him of his garments so that they could anoint him with fresh oil. You know, that's what Jesus does to us. He often strips us back all our glory, all our strength, all our pride, and then he anoints us afresh. Amen. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, called. You're called. Say to the person next to you, you're called, you know. You're called to show forth his praises. Amen. God's going to put royal robes on. This is what the Lord's telling me as I'm speaking. He's going to put royal robes on people today. I'm going to try and finish this if I can. I know Myra, she likes all the points. She doesn't like part two. But I'm going to try and finish this, and then we're going to pray for people. And the Holy Spirit's going to start touching people. He's going to start healing people, releasing people. And it's not because you don't love Jesus, and it's not because God hasn't done anything. It's because he wants to pour more into you. Hallelujah. Hands up if you want more. Hands up if you want less. All right, I've got to be on my best behavior here. So five garments that the Lord puts in our wardrobe. The Bible says in Isaiah 61 and verse 10, he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. Now, there may well be people here that you've never crossed the line of committing your life to God. You're not against him, but really you've never really stepped over the line. And you don't know whether, if Jesus came back and the trumpet of the Lord was to blow and he appeared in the sky, whether you go to heaven or not. You're afraid of death because the fear of eternity. You know, the Bible says here that God wants to put in your wardrobe today eternal life, the garment of eternal life. Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 3. We have an eternal body made for us by God himself, not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. Amen. Now, you know, I knew John when he was good looking. But like me, it's not quite there as it used to be. But I want to tell you, this mortal, that mortal, will put on immortality. Hallelujah. I'm going to put on immortality because God has given me the gift of eternal life. Because Jesus loved us, he died on the cross for us. And if we confess our sin and believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead, we shall be saved, and he will put on us the garment of salvation. Before we pray for people, I'm going to pray for, if I want you to think about this. If that's you, and we're going to pray a prayer for, to ask the Lord to put a garment of salvation at the end of this service. So if you do not, haven't stepped over the line, and you want to have eternal life abiding in you, we're going to pray, and I want you to pray with us. Okay? Next one on the, in the wardrobe. God wants to put garments of holiness. He wants to put clean clothing in the wardrobe. It's no use having a great dress that's filthy. It's no use having a Christian life that's got stains all over it. You know, the Bible says this in Romans 1:4, he declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. God wants to put a garment of holiness on some people in this room. You love the Lord. You know, it says this in Ezekiel 36, 25, 26. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I want God today, me, sprinkle clean water on me. Don't you? You know, God says be holy, but we live in a coal and don't get dirty in life, but we work and live in a coal mine. You know, I used to have all sorts of jobs when I was a student. One of them was a coal man. I was like a stick. The bags of coal were heavier than me. When I put the coal down the hole, I nearly fell down myself. And I remember John Smith, his name was, would you believe? He said, oh, I was just helping him out for a week. He said, will you help me out? So I said, I didn't know what I was getting into. And I come back absolutely caked in filth. Filth. And he said, we're going home now. I'm going to bring you home. He said, well, take those shoes off. You're not going to sit anywhere. He said, go upstairs and go in the shower. So all through the day, I've been working with filth. And then here I am, I'm going in, and I go in the shower, and it just all wash off me. You know, maybe you're living in unbelievable circumstances where things defile you, where people are swearing, where people are behaving badly against you, where you're rubbing up against all sorts of garbage all the time. You know, we've got to learn to go in the shower of the Holy Spirit. My wife's always saying to me, have you had a shower? And I say, of course I have. She has this doubtful look. Have you had a shower? I want God. You see, I want to live a Christian life where I'm constantly under the shower of the Holy Spirit. When people hurt me or I hurt them, I don't bury it. I don't pretend it's not there. I just go in the shower of the Holy Spirit and say, God, will you wash this away? Will you wash these bad feelings away? Will you wash my mind clean of criticism or bitterness or unkindness? God wants to put garments of holiness. It might well be that, you know, you've been really contaminated. It might not be your fault, but it's left you really stained. We want to pray for you. The spirit of holiness will come on you. Amen. I'd better get on with this. I'm going to be quick. Garments of power. He wants to get all the garbage out the cupboard and he wants to put his garments in. If you don't like the word garments, the biblical word for it is mantle. Okay? A mantle of holiness. A mantle of salvation. A mantle of power. I think theologically we put ourselves into a corner so we can only read scriptures in a certain way. This is one of them. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come. Notice this word. Let's say it together. Upon you. Upon you. It's talking about being clothed with power. God wants you to be clothed with power. He wants us not only to tell people about Jesus, but he wants us to be able to say, can I pray for you about that broken leg you've got? I talk to people and they're talking to me and I say, hang on a minute. You don't just need a solution here. You need a miracle. My son is a top guy in the hospital in Liverpool that does seminars and stuff. A great psychologist, and he's marvelous. And he can help people to cope, and he can give them strategies to do stuff. But a lot of people don't need just strategies on how to cope. Most people need a miracle. I need a miracle! See, when we preach the gospel, we've just got to offer to say, can I pray for you about that? Amen? And I wonder, it may well be that you really love the Lord and The spirit of holiness has come on you, but God wants you to start moving and expecting miracles to happen. Amen. If you're sick, we want to pray for you to be healed today. Amen. I keep saying amen because I'm getting excited myself. Hallelujah. Got to get on. God wants to put in your wardrobe garments of wisdom and revelation. Not just power, wisdom and revelation. Listen to this, Ephesians 1, 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the Spirit. Let's say that together. Give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. You see, there's a spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's beyond academia. And that is not to be despised. Paul says, give yourself to reading, study. God doesn't honor lazy Christians. But God's got a garment beyond the levels of our ability and understanding, and it's a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So that when you speak or talk to people, you're not just giving them an analysis and information, but you will bring application and transformation when you speak to them. Amen. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. You see, this is how Jesus did the miracles. This is how the miracles happened. This is how he moved supernaturally. He says, what I see in heaven, I do on earth. What I hear in heaven, I speak on earth. That's why he was able to say to, was it Nathaniel? I saw you under the tree. I'd love to give you some stories, but the time's going on and out, so I won't. But God wants to impart today to some people here today the gift of words of knowledge and prophetic garment. Garments, prophetic garments. You see, I'm just going to pick on, embarrass Myra. She probably won't invite me again. But she said, didn't she, as I walked in, that he used to get me say, Myra's got something for you. Let me tell you something about Myra. I don't know whether she's put it under the carpet, but she's got a prophetic spirit. It'll come out like this. I feel the Lord might be saying this. Can you anyone hear Myra saying that? I feel the Lord might be saying this. And there's people here who've got a prophetic spirit which you haven't used. Now, you don't impose it on people. You just say what Myra says. I think the Lord might be saying this. What do you think? Okay, I'm going to move on. I wish I could spend hours with that one. Next, this is the final garment I'm talking about in the wardrobe. There are many more. But God wants to put garments or a mantle of joy on you. A mantle of joy. You know, when we were in Emmanuel, I remember we did some open airs. And in those days, it was the early 90s, the place was really, there was a real oppression on the area, never mind the city, and we did these open airs. And I remember I was walking past the Marion Square there, and God said, you've got to do this in joy. I realized there and then, we have to evangelize with joy. So we had all sorts of things doing, all, got up to all sorts of stuff. But really, we have to do it with joy. We have to go out into the world. Go out into the world with joy and hope and love and passion and faith. And I realized why the Lord said that to me as I was walking towards the open air. Because joy is one of the most powerful weapons against the spirit of oppression. Amen. A demon cannot sit in a church where there's joy. You know, until I met Myra, I thought joy was the flesh. I thought if you're a happy Christian, you must be worldly. I nearly chucked my wife because she went in a play once. Comedy sketch. So that's not very spiritual. You ask her. Really religious toad, I suppose. But you know, God wants what joy is. He wants filled with love and joy. You know, yeah, I'm going to pick on her again. Myra, do you know who she likes? Ken Dodd. She used to go and watch Ken Dodd all the time. And what's his song? Happiness, happiness. I thank the greatest gift that I possess. I thank the Lord that I possess more than my share of happiness. I don't know about you, but I believe God wants to put a gift of happiness on people. You know, the devil wants to put in that wardrobe a garment of misery. And he even looks spiritual, that garment. But God wants to take out the garment of misery and put the garment of joy. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Is righteousness important? Yes. Is peace important? Yes. Is joy important?
Yes.
They're on a par. That's how important joy is. What it was, I had a problem with fun. And when I was working with her, she was always thinking of doing parties, games, Eddie. Are you coming to the social? The Lord had to deliver me. He had to take out the garment of misery and cynicism. And put in a garment of joy. And that actually, sometimes this might shock you, include fun. He says he gives them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. Why? That the garment of praise might absolutely smash the spirit of heaviness. There's a spirit of heaviness. As I say, if there's someone here with a curse on you, we want to pray for you. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it, but we'll pray for you and the thing will come off. If you're sick and the enemy's just smashed your body to bits, we want to pray for you. Oh, Father, we just love you. We thank you, Father, that you want to put a garment of eternal life in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you put eternity in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you want to wash us clean. And we ask you, Lord, all the mess that just attached itself to us for things unconscious or maybe even conscious, we just ask you that you will sprinkle clean water upon us. Sprinkle clean water on us, Lord. Wash all the filth off. Wash those awful words people have spoken of over us. Wash away all our disappointments. Wash away our hardness of heart. Father, we just come to you. We ask you, Lord, to clothe us with power. That ability, so that signs and wonders will happen when we pray for things, for people. We pray for a spirit of revelation. We pray, Lord, that you will impart spiritual gifts of insight and discernment of spirits. Father, we pray that you'll take away our misery and turn it into joy. Help us, Lord, to just, oh Lord, put a lightness in our spirit so that we can dance before you without embarrassment or shame. Now, I said that we will pray for people who, as I've been speaking, you said, I don't know that I know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. But I don't know whether I go to heaven or hell. I don't know him. I don't in that way. I need to know that I belong to him and that I will go to heaven. If you do not know Jesus and you want him to put a garment of eternal life on you this morning, we're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask the whole church to pray the prayer, even though they don't probably need to pray it. You say, why are you doing that? Because the Bible says that you can't pray these prayers silently. You have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that Christ died and rose again. So you need to be able to speak out, not loud, but enough so you can hear your voice. Your ears have to hear your prayer. So I'm going to ask the church to pray a prayer with me to receive Jesus, for Jesus to come and wash away the past and bring forgiveness of sins and clothe you with eternal life. So as we pray and the whole church prays, I want you to open your mouth and I want you to pray this prayer. If you do not know Jesus, and the Lord is going to put a mantle on you of salvation. Let's pray. Would you repeat after me? And I'm saying this because when I first moved to the Lord, I didn't know how to pray, didn't have a clue. So I'll give you this prayer, and you can add to it if you want to. So let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that you died on the cross for my sin. I ask that you wash my sin away. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I receive you into my life. And I ask that the same resurrection spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will come in me, so that when I die, I will be raised from the dead, and this mortal will put on immortality. Amen.